I wanted to play a little something for you this morning before I got started, because I think it would allow for me to put the sermon in context. Today's sermon title is called The Tenacity of Love. The Tenacity of Love. And I think the reason, well, the main point for this sermon is simply this: just embrace Jesus, because he is never going to let go of you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's it. Like Pastor said last week, that's the main point. That's all the points. And only thing I'm going to do is embellish. Because what's important to know is that God will never let go of you. I'm going to play the song before I get started, because Now, why would I play that song for you? Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Throughout the beginning of this month, the youth and I have been talking from a book that was called Unchristian. And the book comes from the Barner Institute, and it tries to get an idea of why people that aren't churched, why they are, why do they feel that way? Why is it that they felt that this Jesus thing wasn't for them? Why, or in certain cases, why it wasn't for them anymore? And so it brought in a number of factors about, you know, what they believe and what they thought that we believed. And one of the questions ended up coming in from one of the youth, and I won't say your name, but you'll recognize the question, well, why should I trust this God? Why should I trust somebody who's just willing to die for me that I don't know? Now, I was very much prepared to come up with a nice analogy of the father and children, and I had put it all together. I was ready. It was going to be on the board. I was going to have something very much ready for them when they came back in. And so happens, as the weeks went through, I never got the chance because of Easter and all the other things. So I figured I would get the opportunity to finally give my answer. And then one Sunday, I'm sitting here and listening to Pastor, it was actually Easter Sunday, and I came across an account. Matthew 25, verses 47 through 55. When you get there, say amen. Matthew 25th chapter, verses 47 through 55. Yes, ma'am. Make sure I wrote that. Excuse me, 26. 26, I'm sorry. I'm looking at it. I'm like, wait a minute, that don't look right. I have it printed here, but I have it here just to make sure. So 26, I'm sorry. 26 chapter, verses 47 through 55. And the word of God says, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the high priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and I kissed him. Jesus replied, do what you have come, do what you came for, friend. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in your place. Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with sword and club to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. How in the world does that answer that question? What it pointed me back to was that first sentence that I gave you, the tenacity of Jesus's love. See, for those of you, well, most of you, I know you do. This is just a review. Tenacity means the quality or fact of being very determined. Determination, the quality or fact of being able to grip something firmly. In other words, he's like a dog on a bone. Once he's got it, He's not letting go. So when I took a look in this particular scripture, it brought me to a point of just kind of thinking about our own lives. It's like for you youth, you're at the end of the school year and you're at a point to where, you know, everything is kind of coming up towards the end. You know, you got finals coming up, but the summer is coming. And there's like this big test ready before you have to go forward. But for Jesus in this case, he was right at the end of it. Well, let's just say he was at the greatest point. He was beginning the greatest point of his mission here on earth. See, he was at the very last time for Satan to be able to do something about this Jesus thing and keeping it from happening. So here we have Satan saying, all right, this is what we're going to do. We got to stop this Jesus guy, because once he does this dying thing, I think we might be done. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring out all the stops. All right. So he sits back and he gets the high priest and all, and he brings out them with the swords and everything. This big, huge force. Like, yeah, all right, we got the intimidation factor here. This, if anything, this is going to get him to acquiesce. But then we can't really get to him because we aren't 100% sure where he is. So we're going to get an inside man. So they go and grab Judas. And they're like, look, you may not agree with everything that this guy's doing. So tell you what, so that your conscience can be clear, why don't you just lead us to this Jesus guy? And when you get there, you know, we'll pay you handsomely for it. So imagine kind of Jesus sitting there. He's come up from his prayers. He has pleaded with God. He is now resolute in his mission. And he looks up and he sees this external force coming from him. What do I mean by this external force? I mean all of the high priests and everybody, all of the people from the outside. Don't we all have, at times, don't we all get attacked by people that are from our outside? Those people that want us to look like them, to act like them, to be like them, to sing like them, to talk like them, to preach like them, to do everything like them. We have to follow their rules and their way of doing things. They sit back and they try to define what our beauty is supposed to be and say, here, this is what you should look like. They look at our diets and say, that's not good enough. You need to do it this way. And they use that outside to try to influence us, to try to point us away from who we really, really are and what it is that we're supposed to be doing. They are that distracted end waiting for us to move away from our mission. That external force sometimes leaves us confused. It leaves us at a place to where we're just a little discombobulated. But see, that external force has its limitations. As you see here in the scripture, you see that they didn't really know where Jesus was. They really didn't have the power to take over Jesus anyway. If you read the other accounts in the other gospels, the arrest of Jesus is in all four gospels. If you read, you'll notice that when he did appear, when Judas did identify him, the initial force actually stepped back. They were afraid of what was there. They were afraid of the power that was there. See, Satan knows who he's dealing with.
That's right. That's right.
He knows that he can't conquer what's there. So he's cautious in how he attacks. So know that when the external forces are coming at you, know that you have a power greater than yourself. But, you know, I get a little ahead of myself. Because there was also an internal force. Those are the scary ones. Because the internal forces are the ones that kind of know us best. They're the ones that have been around us most of the time. They're the ones that have kind of seen our ugly. They're the ones that know the truest pieces of who we are. But they're also the ones that we've allowed closest into us. They're the ones that are most intimate with us. We feel comfortable with them. So to have a betrayal from that interforce probably hurts worse than any of the rest. Because that's where we had put our trust. That's where we had said we can be most authentic here. So Satan, and I was actually reading someplace else where it said Satan entered Judas. See? He had to enter in to Judas. When you think about that, think about how sometimes the internal things that bother us, how they really are not of God. You think about how some of the anxiety, some of the depressions and other things that drive us, that harm us, that try to pull us away from who we are. See how they are not of God. They are there to turn your attention. Both of them are there to turn your attention away from your power. All right, Elder Bob, I get you, but what does that got to do with God's tenacity? Well, you see, if you're sitting there with that, just kind of imagine yourself standing there. You're kind of wavering, you know. I think I was talking with Pastor, and he kind of described it as us being having a righteous tower. You know, a lot of times we look at our own righteousness, you know, and we stack them up like blocks. And hoping that, you know, if we sit on top of them, we can look God eye to eye and say, hey, I deserve the blessings you're giving me. All right. Come on now. Aren't I good? Aren't I, you know, here I am. But where are we when that tower falls? When that tower is dangling. And I think Laverne told him, say, how are we when you got only two blocks left? And that last block is dangling on and holding on for dear life.
Right.
Where are we? Where are we in that moment? Jesus sat there at that very moment looking at the people that were closest to him, or one of the people that was closest to him, betray him with a kiss. Call him by a name. You know, rabbi, there was nothing wrong with the word rabbi, but if you had read earlier in the scriptures, Jesus had made a reference about how they had used rabbi as a way to just puff themselves up. So in many ways, he was kind of saying, hey, you fraud. Here are these soldiers that are there armed and ready to go to take him away. And what does he do? He refers back to why he was doing this in the first place. John 17, verse 20 through 25 says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Pay attention to that. Father, just as you and I, as you are in me and I am in you. That's twice. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. What did you notice about that? What you hope that you notice is that Christ's plan all along was for him to be, for us to be in him and him to be in us. Christ said, look, the reason I came here, young people, and that's all of y'all. All of y'all. I figured if I say all of y'all, that'll include me and get me some years. But see, the reason Christ came, he was saying, look, there's nothing that you got to do for me to love you. I love you already. I'm coming because I want you to be in me and I in you. Understand, God said, look, I want an intimate relationship with you. I already know who you are. I knew you from you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Amen. You just didn't realize who I was yet. So if you allow me in you and you in me, then all of a sudden you get to see the world from my perspective and I get to see the world from yours. See, if I'm intimately into you, then all of a sudden I can see the pains that you're going through. I can feel your hurts. So often we look at God from here and he's so detached. But if you look at God from here, you can't separate him. See, the intimate relationship with God allows for us to connect directly into him when we need him the most. But it also allows for him to know exactly what it is that we need even before we do. Jesus said in John 10, 28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Stop. No one will snatch them out of my hands. If you go back to the accounts, you see that you have these armed guards that are there to try to take you away. Jesus was saying, look, I already have power over this. Nothing they have can stand against you. None of them can take you out of me. They can't take you out of my hands. My grip is so strong, I will never let go. My word has not failed, neither will I. Isn't that something to trust in? Isn't that something to lay your faith in? Amen. When you're sitting back and having the hardest time of your day, isn't that something to sit back and say, ah, there's some comfort there. Ah, there's some relief there. Ah, there's some satisfaction there. See, if he's got you, you don't have to worry about going to chase him. He's there. Look, y'all see me. I am known around here, you visitors that are here, I'm known as the Energizer Bunny. If I'm not here, I'm here. If I'm not here, I'm back there. If I'm not there, I'm back there. Okay? It is my nature. Ricochet rabbit. I hear you. Okay? I am all the way. And I think I've been that way most of my life. But a lot of the motivation behind that had really nothing to do with just being the Energizer Bunny. A lot of that went back to that tower that I talked about. You see, the more that I allowed myself to do, the more I thought I was making myself. Not just useful, but it's like he wouldn't get rid of me. It's like if I could do enough, then when God finally did see me, he'd say, yep. You fulfilled all the tasks. You're good to go. It'll ensure that you get in with me. You know, I'm just like, you know, I'm checking off the, is that, nope, that ain't enough. You know, and it was, I sat there, you know, doing as much as I could. And it wasn't until an incident in the car. On Tuesday, I'm driving down 29 and stopping at the traffic light. And I'm starting just to pray about my son and college and being able to take care of things for him. And anxiety was building up and all kinds of stuff. And at a certain point, I just stopped. And I said, yeah, it's yours.
Yes! Yes! Hallelujah!
And let it go. And at that point, if I'm being totally transparent, I felt a calm that I hadn't felt in a while. And I felt a closeness that I also hadn't felt in a while. Because it was truly at that point that I was really able to say, you know what, God? I know you're there. And I know you got me. And I'm really and truly offering these things into your hands. Mm-hmm. And I'm really stepping back and allowing you to take care of it. I realized that it wasn't what I did, how good I was. It didn't matter. You see, when this prayer was prayed, I wasn't alive. You weren't alive. Your grandparents weren't alive. Your great-grandparents weren't alive. I could keep going, but I think you get the point. Yet and still, he willingly went to a cross for me. Not because of what I had done, but because he loved me. And because his Father had given me to him, he promised never to let go of me. That made me happy. I don't know where I am, but. God will keep you and never let go. He will protect you from all harm. He will protect you from the schemes of the enemy. God decided that all you have to do is remain in him. And he will take it from there. But what I found funny was the last part. This is not in every gospel. Actually, it's only in Mark. Mark 14:51, it says, a young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. The last of the accounts of what happened during the arrest of Christ. And the reason I found that funny is, think about that. Here we have somebody following Jesus, and here, when everything goes into an uproar, he leaves his clothes and runs away naked. But honestly, how many of us have really been naked in front of God? How many of us have allowed for God to see us fully for who we are? Shoot, it's hard enough to be just naked in front of you all. To be able to say, you know, I am not perfect. I sin just like the rest. To be able to say, I don't get things right all the time. To be able to say, you know, hey, I had a pretty bad thought just coming here earlier today. You know? But what if that young man that was following him did the opposite? What if instead of running away from Jesus, he followed him to Calvary? What if he had turned and run towards his Savior? You know, young people, we sometimes run away from God. And this is one of the things that this book was trying to say, that we try to run away from the truths of what our faith is all about. And I'm going to tell you, it's more than just about what's written in the pages. It's not just a book of laws and a book of edicts and you know, just you do this, and if you're at your optimal behavior, you will be. That's not what it's all about. What it all boils down to is, if you're willing to love me fully, if you're willing to take all of your doubts and fully put them in my care, if you're willing to show me the fullness of where you are in your life, regardless of how pretty or how ugly it is, regardless of your understanding, your education, your experience, it does not matter. If you're fully ready to do that, if you're fully ready to be naked in front of me and run my way, then I got a new body for you. Don't worry about the embarrassment of the nakedness, because I got a new robe to place upon you. And don't worry about where you're going to end up, because I already have a kingdom set for you. I don't think that other thief deserves all the glory that he got. I want some of that. He doesn't get it all. I get some. Because he sat there and recognized who Jesus was, and in his last days said, hey, remember me when you go into his kingdom, when you go into your kingdom. I want him to remember me when he gets there as well. And when he does, he just looks down at me and says, look, I already got you. I never let go. Because once you were mine, you're mine forever. See, that's true tenacity. That's something you can put your full faith in. So if ever you're in doubt, remember the words of the song. He found you when you were a foe. He climbed the highest mountains just to find you. He went to the deepest depths just to see where you were. There's no place you can go where God is not there.
Amen.
Allow him to be.